Time for another multi-parter. Quick questions number 12. Three things for this show. The first one, I like this one. Yeah, Stuart wrote in saying, hey, New Year's Day, I'm at the Rose Bowl. They do that flyover right as the national anthem is ending. How do they get it so perfect? I don't know. Let's ask a pilot.
My name is Captain Kyle Cassidy. I am a B-2 pilot at Whiteman Air Force Base.
Which, come on, are you kidding? So cool. That's the stealth bomber.
Yeah, it's a it's about 50-50 whether or not people kind of like understand or like know what the B-2 is.
And if they do,
they have a lot more questions for me. They want to know how fast we fly, how high the jet flies, if it's like invisible because of the stealth technology.
I love it. So he's done a couple of these and it starts like this. There's a portal for event managers to actually go and make a request. They do this months out and then they see what they get if they get chosen from the pool. You can't pick the equipment. You can't even pick the branch, but sometimes it works and you get a show. And the pilots, they get training because that's how they see this.
Yeah, I think that's one of the bigger misconceptions with flyovers is that it is like a waste of money or a waste of training or flight hours. For a flyover, we have the opportunity to really go out and execute what we practice, you know, focus on that TOT, that time over target, trying to make sure that our airspeed, our timing, all that is perfect.
Yeah, think about it. A bomb run could be a specific place at a specific time. They'll also make a day of this, do some aerial refueling. Sometimes the jets will station themselves nearby overnight, but not this one. You don't just park your stealth bomber anywhere. Now, timing. They get a script from the planners at the stadium. The key is no funny business with the anthem. Tell me exactly how long it's going to take in practice for the singer or the band, and then they got to stick to that because the jets, they're holding nearby.
So if we're 10 miles away, we're traveling about 7 miles a minute. So that works out to be roughly 1 minute and 20 seconds.
So think reverse. It's not so much hitting the last note, but turning and heading in on the first note and then making some adjustments if you need to with airspeed. This must be fun, right?
It is a very high stress environment inside the cockpit. And then I think after you fly over the stadium and you've...
It's one of those things back, after the fact. Okay.
Take a deep breath and then you know, crack a smile and know that you put on a good show.
And one more thing for you, Stuart. The Rose Bowl, he says it is special. You hold over the mountains and then literally just swoop on down.
It's probably one of the coolest things I've done in an aircraft, descending kind of down that mountain face. And then once you do level off, I remember seeing the fireworks go off about halfway through the national anthem. And then shortly after that, you're flying over, buzzing the stadium. For the Rose Bowl, the grounds crew that were there actually keyed the mic so that we could hear the final note of the national anthem as we passed over, hear the crowd roar, and that was one of the coolest experiences.
There he goes. And what's this? The elephants are back. Mammoths last week, right? Elephants this week. Diane was curious. The thing where they're supposed to be afraid of mice, is that actually a thing?
I feel like it definitely got some extra traction in Dumbo more recently, but turns out it dates back way earlier than this. I believe the year was 77 AD.
Patrick Wolf is with the Oakland Zoo.
The story that I found out in a bunch of the research that I did was that it comes from kind of a fable in ancient Greece. But the idea is that elephants are afraid of mice. There are two potential thoughts. One is that they're afraid because they might nibble on their toes or that they might climb up the elephant's trunk. And from a biological standpoint, neither of these are really true. These don't really happen in nature. And elephants don't have to fear much.
Yeah, I feel like it could also just shoot it out the trunk if it crawled up there. So what was the fable trying to teach us?
I think it's just small things can have big impact, right?
All right, so that one's settled. I have more elephant questions. So we always hear they are smart. How smart is smart?
When you break it down to individual skills, there is an animal that can do that. You want to talk about tool use? Crows. You want to talk about culture and the spreading of ideas from group to group? Gorillas and orcas can do that in their hunting and foraging behaviors. You want to talk about insight problem solving, and this is where elephants can come in. Individual can figure out the solution to a problem without having to kind of physically try. You're figuring it out in your brain. And so once you actually get to the action part of it, you've already intuited a solution. And elephants can do that.
Can't talk about elephants without talking about their trunks. Babies trying to figure out what to do with theirs. Highly recommend the videos of this.
They are clumsy little babies with their trunks. They're just flopping all over the place. It looks like us trying to walk. Like they just don't have control of their limbs.
Once they do get the hang of it, though, how good are they? I mean, how amazing is that thing?
It is boneless. It is all soft tissue and muscle. They can pick up something as small as, you know, like a peanut, but also something as big as a tree trunk. So they're incredibly powerful, incredibly dexterous, very flexible. They do breathe through it too. But speaking of myths, one of the things that I grew up with in like Saturday morning cartoons, that elephants would like drink water through their trunk, like a straw. You ever see that?
Yeah, I thought they did.
They do not. Yeah, because I mean, I guess technically they could, because like it's their nose, it would just not be comfortable. So they don't. But what they can do is use it like a water gun. So they can store several gallons of water in their trunk at a time. So they pull in the water to their trunk, but they like hold it there. They direct the end into their mouth and shoot it in.
Elephants, not afraid of mice. Very, very smart, with a water gun attached to their face. Thanks, Patrick. All right, last one as the audience takes their seats here for our very special guest.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Jennifer Coolidge. You don't believe me? Right. It is somebody else.
Hi there, Mike. It's Rosemary Watson.
She does emceeing. She sings. She's big on TikTok because she does voices. She is an impressionist.
It goes back to my closet. I had a closet as a child that I played in. I always did voices. And it really got started, I think, my love for comedy and characters came from Carol Burnett. So I owe so much to her and actually had the incredible opportunity of connecting with her. Back in 2012, I wrote her a letter and she answered it. She called me on my phone.
Can you imagine? Really gave her a boost. But long story short, before that, she was doing voiceovers, you know, narration, commercials, kind of fell into this when somebody during a session said,
"Do you think you could do Hillary Clinton?" And lo and behold, Mike, I went home and discovered that, in fact, she was in me. It's just great to be here on your show.
Yeah, there she is, Madam Secretary. All right, tell me how. Is there a method here or did you surprise yourself?
Well, the first thing is, I think for everybody, you know, you start out with somebody whose voice is kind of similar to yours or you're from the same part of the country. And, you know, I just naturally understood where she places her A's. And then I think what you want to do is look at the person's body language when they talk. You look at their mouth.
It's a whole thing. You ever notice that? How impressionists sort of exaggerate the movements of the person they're doing?
For sure. For sure. I just started doing Martha Stewart this year, actually, on TikTok. So Martha has this, if I could just get into her character just a little bit. She does not move her lips very much when she talks.
What else? Well, she says practice, a lot of it. Lots of video watching, lots of news, lots of YouTube.
Like Diane Sawyer, she was kind of my next after Hillary Clinton. And I think the thing about Diane and the thing about any impression, Mike, is you have to find something that makes them unique. And so you try to find that one little thing like that. With Hillary, I would always put in a word, you know, back in the day. Oh, like Nancy Pelosi, I say the word social security.
And you heard her star Jennifer Coolidge already. Who else do you have in there before we go?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, like Cher, okay? You put your tongue at the top of your, you know, upper lip, right? Okay, babe?
Barbara Walters, Baba Wawa.
But I tried so many, many times.
I like this. Time's up. Got to get out of here. But if you want to practice, think of the vice president.
Well, right now, Mike, it's Kamala, and I just want to say you can find me at rosemarywatson.com. Okay.
The Kamala is the okay, right? That's the thing.
Okay.
That's the
thing. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm out of here. That's it. Till next week. We'll talk then.